Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. I've often said that there are two pillars of Mormonism that if you could somehow convince that one or both of these two pillars are fraudulent, that most thinking Mormons would readily abandon their faith in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. One of those pillars deals with the first vision. Now, we've talked about the first vision on numerous occasions on this show, but we want to talk about it again and in the context of one of these newer gospel topic essays that is titled First Vision Accounts. In this essay, the writers, whoever they are, and again, these essays are anonymous. We have no idea who put them together. We can gather enough that they were not put together by the general authorities in the Mormon Church. In fact, this First Vision Account essay gives credit at the end of it by saying the church acknowledges the contribution of scholars to the historical content presented in this article. Their work is used with permission. Now, before we continue with what we really want to get into on this subject, I think you need to know that since we started doing these critiques of the gospel topic essays, that Elder Stephen E. Snow, the LDS Church historian, who is also the executive director of the Church History Department, he took that position when Marlon Jensen left. He actually explains that the gospel topic essays are vetted, or at least they are approved by the leadership of the church. And the reason why that's important is because it's not unusual to hear Mormons say, when you quote from a website or from the writings of a particular leader, for a Mormon who doesn't agree with that conclusion to say, well, that's just their opinion. You can't do that with these essays, folks. For one, they're on LDS.org, which is an official website of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. On their newsroom website, it says that if you find something that's on one of their official websites, you can take that to the bank. Basically, you can believe that that's what Mormons are supposed to believe, and that's what the LDS Church leadership wants their membership to believe. Well, Elder Snow talks about the authenticity of what goes into these gospel topic essays, including the one that we want to cover in the next several days, this one titled First Vision Accounts. And he starts off by being asked this question: how does the church provide answers to historical questions? And this is what Elder Snow, Stephen Snow, says about that.
He writes, "Most who study our history well understand the context of these matters as far as time and place. But some members of the church, many really, are surprised by some of the things they learn in our history. And we want them to be able to go to a place where they can read accurate information and be able to seek to understand those historical chapters in the context of time and place. And understand that those answers have been approved by the presiding brethren of the church. I think that will give many of our members confidence that they can rely on those answers."
Read that part again, Eric, because that, listeners, is what we need to really get out of this statement that Mr. Snow is making.
"And I understand that those answers have been approved by the presiding brethren of the church. That will give many of our members confidence that they can rely on these answers." We have actually retained, outside the Church History Department, we have retained scholars for the most part outside the Church History Department, known LDS scholars, to do some very extensive research. And this has been groundbreaking in a way. These issues have not always had academic attention. They haven't really been researched carefully, so we are very pleased that these scholars would agree to do this research. They then submitted a draft of their paper to a committee of historians here in the Church History Department, as well as the general authorities who have reviewed their work and adjusted some edits. Those edits are made with the permission of the original writer, and that's been submitted to the presiding quorums of the church, the 12, and the First Presidency for approval, and then it's published in Gospel Topics under LDS.org.
It sounds pretty clear to us from what Mr. Snow is saying that these essays have been put together primarily by scholars that the Mormon Church has sought out, and that their writings have been approved by the leadership of the church. So that proves my point. These papers are not being written by the general authorities in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They are being written by various scholars, but they are being approved by the church leadership. Therefore, that gives it what we would assume to be its stamp of officiality. That is important, folks, when you're referring to these gospel topic essays. And I'll tell you something, I have used these gospel topic essays as discussion starters many times already. I get to know a Latter-day Saint, and they want to know what I do, and I'll tell them what I do, and I'll say, hey, I got a question for you. What do you think about these new gospel topic essays that they're posting on LDS.org? Sometimes the LDS acquaintance knows about them. Sometimes they somewhat know about them, and it gives me an opportunity to ask them about some of the things that I have actually read in those papers. And I probably told a story a while back of how I was visiting the Beehive House, and the sister missionary was telling us how the Book of Mormon was translated. And when I brought up that I read somewhere that it was done with a rock and a hat, she not only denied it, but another woman, a Mormon woman in our group, denied it. And I told her, well, I read it on LDS.org. Well, you can imagine, no rebuttal after that. What are you going to do? It's from your own source. That's where I'm finding this material. But when it comes to the first vision, one of those pillars, of course, the second one would be the Book of Mormon, and we've talked about that also. The first vision accounts. This is extremely important to all members of the LDS Church. And we want to go back and read again some of the statements from Mormon leaders regarding the importance of this event in Mormon history.
Let me give you one from President Ezra Taft Benson. This is found in a church manual called The Church History in the Fullness of Times Teacher Manual. Also found in Teachings of Ezra Taft Benson, page 101. He said, "The first vision of the prophet Joseph Smith is bedrock theology to the church. The adversary knows this and has attacked Joseph Smith's credibility from the day he announced the visitation of the Father and the Son. You should always bear testimony to the truth of the first vision. Joseph Smith did see the Father and the Son. They conversed with him as he said they did. Any leader who, without reservation, cannot declare his testimony that God and Jesus Christ appeared to Joseph Smith can never be a true leader, a true shepherd. If we do not accept this truth, if we have not received a witness about this great revelation, we cannot inspire faith in those whom we lead. Some of our own members have attempted to interpret the experiences of Joseph Smith and his revelations. They say it really is not important whether or not Joseph Smith actually saw God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. What matters, they claim, is that he thought he did. That is preposterous."
So it has to be an actual sighting of God the Father and Jesus. But what's interesting about that statement is that Ezra Taft Benson is encouraging people to tell that story. And as we're going to discuss in the coming days, nobody knew about that story in the early years of the Mormon Church. You will not find one reference to the first vision in the first several years of the Mormon Church being publicized. Members didn't know about this. Joseph Smith apparently wasn't talking about this. We don't find any anywhere that the first vision was ever criticized by someone who didn't believe Joseph Smith, yet we find criticism regarding Joseph Smith and his claim of being visited by an angel and told about gold plates, but we don't find any criticism of the first vision, and that is telling. There should be criticism of that. Well, the reason there isn't, folks, is because it wasn't being told. But not only did Ezra Taft Benson talk about the importance, we also have Seventh President Heber J. Grant. This is what he said. "If Joseph Smith did not have that interview with God and Jesus Christ, the whole Mormon fabric is a failure and a fraud. It is not worth anything on earth. And he said that in a conference message. You can find this in Conference Reports, April 1940, page 128, if you want to look it up in its context.
President Gordon Hinckley, the 15th president, said in 1961, "I would like to say this cause is either true or false. Either this is the kingdom of God or it is a sham and a delusion. Either Joseph talked with the Father and the Son or he did not. If he did not, we are engaged in blasphemy." That's not an either or fallacy, Bill. Either he did or he didn't. And then he says in 2002, in a general conference message, November of 2002, Ensign, page 80, "Our whole strength rests on the validity of that vision. It either occurred or it did not occur. If it did not, then this work is a fraud. Upon that unique and wonderful experience stands the validity of this church." In case you didn't get it then, 4 years later, Church News, July 1st, 2006, page 2, he said, "There's no other event in all recorded history that compares with it, not even at the baptism of the Savior. And without a testimony of this, true to the faith, a church manual," it's like an encyclopedia on page 90, it says, "for your testimony of the restored gospel to be complete, it must include a testimony of Joseph Smith's divine mission. The truthfulness of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints rests on the truthfulness of the first vision and the other revelations the Lord gave to the prophet Joseph."
Now notice the words that we've been using here in these citations. Folks, the word fraud, sham, blasphemy, those are pretty serious terms. And why would they use such words? Well, I think it's because Gordon Hinckley knew very well that if there was no such thing as the first vision, then all of the Mormons' understanding of who God is are certainly out of harmony with what the Christian world has been saying for centuries. Let me give you a citation here. Gordon Hinckley said, and this is in the Great Things Which God Has Revealed, an Ensign article, conference edition that came in the Ensign in May 2005, page 81. "I submit that in the short time of that remarkable vision, Joseph learned more concerning deity than all of the scholars and clerics of the past." That's where the Mormons get their understanding of who God is.
We're going to need to continue this tomorrow, but this month, during the month of June, anybody who gives a donation online on our website, go to the donate button on the right-hand side and give a donation electronically. We're going to send you an electronic version of Wesley Walter's booklet called The Palmyra Revival and Mormon Origins. This is an excellent booklet we'll be talking more about later this week, but for your donation of any size, send that in. You'll automatically receive a PDF of this valuable booklet.
We're going to be referencing that book several times in the coming days.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.